Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings to you. Greetings to you online, for those that are watching. And again, happy Mother's Day. And I know some of you know me, you're like, why are you the way you are? I want to take this moment, this Mother's Day, to say, hey, everyone turn back there and you can see the reason why I'm there. Right there, Jerry Young. You say, thanks, Miss Jerry, for being the way, for the way that I am. That's the only thing she wanted for Mother's Day. So, hey, you're good. Taking care of her. For everyone to look at her and say that. We will be in Psalm 119 today, as the announcements and have been said before. Today we're going to be looking at what it means, or the characteristics of being an ambassador of God and ambassador of the King, and what it means to have the characteristic to be a lover of God's word. And to do that, I want you to do two things for me. One is, if you have one of the Bibles, have your own Bible, even virtual, I'll allow it today. Let's go to Psalm 119 together, because I want to outline some stuff with you together. Again, as it's been said, if you have the chair Bible, it's at, on page 513 that 119 begins. And what I want you to do is, as we'll go through some of the things in chapter 119, and this is the ESV version I'll be reading from, what I want us to do is to look and see what, again, what can we draw from this very remarkable psalm, from the psalmist that wrote it, about what it means to be a lover of the word. And this psalm that glorifies God and his word, it's a psalm that celebrates the gift of God's Torah, which is the covenant instruction, and it's the perfect guide for life. I'm going to bring up an interesting note about Psalm 119. And 171 verses of the 176 verses that mentioned here mention the word of God under one or more of the following names. And I wanted to show you that. All right, so I'm going to list them out for you, and hopefully that slide comes up. They're either one of the following names: law, statutes, decrees, commands. Oh, there it is. Precepts, rules, word, or ways. So as we go through some of Psalm 119 today, and again, we can't be lovers of the word if we're not in the word. So again, I encourage you to turn there in your Bibles, and I want you to outline and underline every time you see one of those words that describe the word of God. And indeed, this is the longest chapter in the Bible. And in fact, when I was preparing this, Miss Erin peeked at my door and said, you know, we have moms and muffins today, so if you could do Psalm 117, it's only two verses, that'd be great. But I love a challenge, so I said, I'm doing Psalm 119, because the people need to hear about being lovers of the word. And she scowled at me. So Psalm 119 takes about 16 minutes to read. And in fact, you could meditate on one verse a year, or one verse a day, and read through it twice in a year and get all of that of guidance of what it means. And while you're, again, turning there, and hopefully you're there now, I wanted to show you another interesting fact that I found out. And this is, George Weishart was the Bishop of Edinburgh in the 17th century, not to be confused with another Scot by the same name, which I knew you were going to be. Was martyred a century early. Weishart was condemned to death, and when he was on the scaffold, he made use of a custom that allowed him to have one psalm sung, and he chose Psalm 119. Before two-thirds of the psalm was sung, his pardon arrived and his life was spared. So children, if you're about to be punished, you can say, Mom, Dad, being good Christians, I would like one Psalm 119 read before I get punished. And before you get to verse 176, they may even forget why they were punishing you. So it's a little something for you today. Happy Mother's Day. So let's look at what it means to be lovers and not fighters of the word. And again, let's start with verses 1 through 8. I think that's a great place to start, just at the beginning. Let's read together. Verse 1, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all of your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not forsake me. And as you can see, and again, in those first eight verses, And I want you to underline it, even if it's the chair Bible. You can underline the words law and testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, rules, and then again in verse 8, statutes. Again, you can see already how the psalmist here is laying out what it means to be a lover of the word. And in verse 1, he starts off with the word blameless, right? And we know that blameless doesn't mean perfect. In fact, Abraham was told by God in Genesis chapter 17:1, was told by God to walk before me and be blameless. And both Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and in Job chapter 1:1, both were described as blameless. Now again, this doesn't mean perfect, but what I think it means is to be wholly dedicated to God's cause, not to be half-hearted in the service of God, and all of our energy put in one pursuit. When you walk in the word, when you are a lover of the word, you think different, you talk different, and you are different. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to have any fun because you're trying to obey these precepts and statutes and commandments. And some people may tell you, oh, you're a Christian, you're going to follow those words, you're not going to have any fun in life. Absolutely the opposite of that. Because what the psalmist says here, he says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong. And he says, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently, and oh, that my ways be steadfast. How many of us long for steadfast ways, for things that happen in the way that they should, that God wants them to be kept? And in verse 2, you see the word keep. And keeps means doing, not only hearing. Neither is it enough that we understand or just ponder God's instructions. We have to follow it. In fact, I had a Seinfeld reference, and I'm glad that Michael said it, because it looks like you guys understand that. Do you remember the one where he goes to the car rental place, and he talks about a reservation? And it's not enough to hold the reservation, to make the reservation. You have to hold the reservation. Because the car where he went didn't hold the reservation. He said, I made this on purpose. I wanted a car. And they said, we don't have a car for you. It's not enough to make the reservation. You have to hold the reservation. In the same way, it's not enough for us just to hear about God's instruction. We have to follow God's instruction. To keep your precepts, as it says in verse 4, God has not commanded us to just be diligent in hearing the precepts, but keeping them. And in verse 5, it says, those who want to be lovers of the word, pray for the ability to obey God's word. Now, let's look at verses 9 through 16. And in fact, what I didn't mention was that each in chapter 119 is divided in 22 stanzas. And each one of those parts begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so it's kind of an acrostic. It's an alphabetic psalm. And so verses 9 through 16, let's read those together. And again, if you're highlighting and outlining where those words of God are coming out, look for those. Verse 9 begins, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight in as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is the language for lovers of the word is really, really rich here in these set of verses here. You remember, or you might look at verse 9 and say, wow, I remember that. From the songs of faith and praise, how shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word, the choicest words impart to keep the conscience clean, to keep the conscience clean. And if you looked at that in the songs of faith and praise, if we still had them in our chairs, you would see Psalm 119:9 is written right below that song. In verse 11, he says, I've stored up the word in my heart. And you see in verse 14, he says, testimonies, I delight as much in all riches. And coming back up to verse 12, he says, this is a prayer for instruction. First, the psalmist says, blessed are you, O Lord. He takes the time to say, wow, I've put these words in my heart, and I can do nothing but exalt you. These are the ways that I need to follow, and I'm so happy that he just says, blessed are you, Lord. Thank you for making my ways for guiding my ways with the word that you put out in front of me. And it also says, teach me your statutes. This is another reflection of the humility of the psalmist. And though filled with God's word and a desire for purity, the psalmist senses a constant need for the instruction of God. It's not simply good enough just to read the statutes. He pleads with God to teach him. And sometimes it's I've seen in Bibles before, it's been written, this book, the Bible, will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. But what I say is that sometimes when I sin, this draws me back to what I need to see. If I really want to be a lover of God and I find myself in a way that I just don't know where I want to go, or I just sense that I don't have purpose, I come back to here and I can relate to what the psalmist says. That I start to find again my purpose and my way of where I need to be. And finally, in verse 16 in this part, he says, I will meditate. And it says, I will contemplate and I will delight. I will not forget your word. So the greatness of God's word here is led by the psalmist to this resolution to say, I'm going to put it on my heart. I'm going to meditate on it with my mind. And in my habits, I'm not going to forget what the word says. And again, these words of being a lover of the word come through so many times. Let's look at verses 41 through 48 all together. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Lovers of the word, congregation, are those who find their answers here. For you can trust in what God says. And especially when someone comes up against you and says, like it says in verse 42, it says, and then I shall answer for him who taunts me. For those of us who have been challenged about the way that we live our life according to the word, the answer is right here. When we believe who God is and what he's laid out for us and what he's done for us through Jesus Christ, the disapproval of this world is answered. It's answered in scripture here. And if you remember the prayer that was in Acts chapter 4, this is John and Peter talking before the Sadducees and the priests and the captain of the temple. It says, to speak thy word with all boldness. So the anticipation here was that when you speak the word, speak it with boldness. The word is supposed to focus here. It's to be trusted, to be obeyed, to sought after, and to be loved. And when you have that and when you know that in your heart and you're spending the time as being a lover of what the word says to you and what God wants you and where God wants you to go, you can't be anything but bold. You will pronounce it and you have no fear against anything that comes against you. Look at verse 46. I will speak in the testimonies before kings, before anybody who seems to have any power over you. When we are ambassadors, we're supposed to be bold. And that's where we get it from, when we are lovers of the word. We are free from either the greatest of challenges. Amen? Verse 73. A couple verses I wanted to draw from things that I'd been, when I was looking over this, I wanted to mention the things that kind of rose out to me again, having these characteristics of lovers of the word. It says, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And I was thinking about that. I said, wow, the Lord that created us, the Lord that inspired these words to be written by the authors here, also created us. And how special is that? Understanding that God is creator and we as the created, we lean on this humble relationship where man admits that we need to learn, and we need to learn his commandments, and we need to put it on our hearts. These commands are from a wise and loving and honorable God. Verse 97. And remember, as you're looking at these verses, make sure that you're underlining where you see the word of God being the word of God coming up. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And I thought about this verse, and this verse really came into to play for me, and I've seen it happen, and it is truly awesome. And I don't want to use that word too flippantly, but this word awesome was fantastic. So in our morning devotionals that we had in Pennsylvania, they were all led by students and teams of students, and none of them showed up to their morning devotional, just said, you know what, I'm just going to wing it. We'll just look at the Bible and see what it says about us. All of them used the time and put time into what they were going to do. And some of them even came and said, you know, can we just run this by you? These are students that love the word. You don't just do that. You don't put together not only a devotional, but spend the time in doing that ahead of time. Or have a talk that begins at 8:30 p.m. and ends at, was it 12:45 the next day? For 4.5 hours, we just wrestled with the word. Man, I'm telling you, that is where lovers of the word comes in. When you can do that and not even bat, well, we did bat an eye, especially the next day. But when you can do that with people and with those that you trust and love, man, I'm telling you, that love of the word, it is truly, truly awesome. Let's turn to verse 105. 105 through 112. This is what was read by Joe, and I thank you for doing that. And again, for Michael, thank you for what you said about the word being what we can scripturally feast on, what it fills our soul with. And again, if you read this, if you read Psalm 119, there's so much to feast on, so much that can lift you up in your spirit. And simply says that the Bible helps us walk in the way that God wants us to walk. And there's different words to show how to walk, but how are Christians supposed to walk? We walk in a manner that's worthy. Ephesians 4:1 says that. We walk in a way that is upright. That's what Isaiah tells us in chapter 57. We walk in the light, as 1 John chapter 1 says. And then we're supposed to walk humbly, as Micah 6:8 says. None of these are possible without the word of God lighting our way. A light to my path, as it says. So not only is the word telling us where to step, but it's also telling us in the pathway to step. I don't know if you've ever been here after 11 p.m. I have a couple times. And that parking lot gets really, really dark when you're walking by yourself, even if your car is parked close to the building. But what I can do is I can just flash my car with the lights, right? And I can see where I'm going. And I was thinking about what light means in our world today. And even the lights in the car, we have blinkers. We have an engine light that we often ignore that says, look, warning, this is the way that you need to fix your engine before you have no more car. We have lights now that say, stay in your lane, or that there's other people that are coming into your lane. We even have lights that tell us all different types of things. So this is, again, something that we can look at in the scriptures. It says not only where we place our steps, but also where we are going. Verse 112 says, I have inclined my heart to perform your statute forever and to the end. And this theme is once again emphasized here. The psalmist says, I will never forsake God's word. I would never stop reading it, learning it, meditating on it, and especially obeying it. Look at verse 159. It says, consider how I love your precepts. Again, instructions. These are instructions, the details for our lives. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. And then down in 163, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Those two verses to me again say, look, this is something that lovers of the word, they will find their fulfillment in what is put out here. When again, you feel like things are lost or you're not right on point, come back to the word. Because there's a lot of things in our life and a lot of things that are in our way that are going to be false. And the way that we know what is false versus what is true is that we get inside the word and we learn it, we meditate on it, and we obey it. Love of the word is the love of God. And that comes through in these final verses here in 174 through 176. The psalmist recognizes here that his soul is needed that his soul needs both life and his guidance from God's word. With this combination of life and guidance, he is able to build a healthy relationship with God. Verse 174 says, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. This great psalm of the law here, it's the longest poem again in the Psalms, is the literary composition of a psalmist whose earnest desire is to make God's law the governing principle of his conduct. So, how do we apply that? How do we say we're all in? We've all been lovers of something, right? When you want to be considered not just hearers of something, but lovers of something, again, you talk different, you act different, you are different, right? So let's say, let me put this in terms of Star Wars, because you know it was coming. If someone just hears about Star Wars, we have a slide here. Okay, that thing in the back, they're going to just say, that's Jabba the Hutt's big flying thing. But someone who loves Star Wars knows that that name actually is the katana. That's the difference. When someone loves something, they know more about it. Now go to this next slide here. Now, I don't know if you can see it. I'm sorry, it's in dark mode, or as I like to call it, mode. Dark mode. Okay, so this is a text I received from Dennis. So we're doing a reading through the Bible in chronological order, and no, again, I'll read it for you. But this is not just something where we go through the word by ourselves. We go through the word as a congregation. We need to help each other remember that. And when you're doing it on YouVersion, on the virtual version on your iPad or on your phone, on your tablet, you can actually see the days that you miss. And so Dennis says to me, it's never too late to get back to reading chronological, brother. I don't have the contact YouVersion group. I had my phone replaced. Thank you for preaching the word. Oh, that was before. That was not this Sunday. But you can see what Dennis did for me. Again, sometimes we can think of maybe being lovers of the word as something of our own that we do on our own, but it's not. This is something that we can encourage one another to do. And this is one of our elders who said to me, hey, you've missed a couple of days. You may have been reading something else, but remember all those other little dots that are looking at you that stand for all the other students that are reading with you? Encourage them as well. And I love that. It's like, for those of you who've run track, we can think that running track is a solo sport. And for those of you who've run track and did different individual events, but it really isn't. All of those events, and not just the relays, go together toward making points for an entire team. And this is the same thing. We can think that reading our Bible by ourselves is an individual thing, but it's not. We want to encourage one another as my brother encouraged me, as we encourage one another to read. To be lovers of the word, you've got to get into the word, but you've also got to encourage one another to be in the word. Because when we're faced with something that we don't know, or faced with a way that we may not understand, being a lover of the word will guide us, will make us, will help us be where we need to be. And so I want to encourage you this morning as we wrap up this morning to be a lover of the word, not just to hear. And you can say, well, you know what? I'm not interested in being a theologian. I'm not encouraged. I've read it through. I'm fine with that. But that's not what is being said here in the scriptures, and it's convicting me, and I want to do the same for you. It says, every time you get in the word, what does it say? I delight in the word. I remember what you've said to me. So yes, if you feel down, if you feel like something is not happening right, if there's some type of thing that's saying, I don't have purpose, where do you go? You go to the word, because that's what it says. And if you don't believe it, test it. Do it. Look at it and say, you know what? I'm going to look at it. I'm going to say, how is it that I can find my way, that this word is the light unto my feet, and the light for my path? Ladies and gentlemen, this is go through 119, all 176 verses, even if it's a verse a day. This will tell you, again, as we are ambassadors, if we're showing ourselves to those that are on the outside, that characteristics of being lovers of the word will allow others to see what is it about what you are studying and what you say is your foundation is something that guides you. So as we wrap up this morning, if you want to get into a Bible study, I know some of you want to do that. Some of us have said that. I want to do that. There's plenty of people who want to do that. We can do that. There's nothing more important than that. And as you see what is being written here about giving your life to Christ as well, giving your life to be a part of that family that's being said here in the Word, we can do that too. Nothing is more important than that. We want to share that with you. We are a family that boldly shows Jesus to love others as Christ first loves us. Amen? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Now let's stand together and let's sing.